here's the question that I want to ask and look at today for us as a church, and I think this is really appropriate for us as a church and where we are and some of the things that God is doing and leading us to. And it's a church that honestly, it's a question rather that honestly I've asked and tried to answer over the years, and it may be a question that you may have never thought of, but it may be something that you've wondered about being a part of a church like ours. And here's the question. Can a small church be effective? Can a small church be effective? That's the question I want us to look at today. And by small, I mean the average attendance. I'm not talking about membership. I'm talking about the average attendance is less than 200 people. That's considered, in these days, in my world, that's considered a small church. Any church that runs less than 200 people. Right now, about 80% of the churches today in existence, no matter what denomination, averages less than 100 people. The question is, if that's the case, if 80% of the churches like that run less than 100 people, can they still be effective? Can it still be a great church? Can it still be a church that makes a difference? And I'll be honest with you. In fact, let me go ahead and just give the answer right up front. I think the answer is yes. Absolutely, the small church can be effective. The small church can be great. It can make a difference. But again, I'll be honest with you, up until about 10 years ago, I would have said, no, that's not the case. And if you were to ask me, okay, well, why don't you believe that the small church could be effective? I would have told you a lot of different things. I would have said, well, small churches just don't have what big churches have. They don't have the staff, they don't have the volunteers, they don't have the facilities, they don't have the ministry, they don't have the finances, they just don't have what a large church would have. And besides that, small churches tend to be inward focused, they tend to be threatened by change, they tend to be filled with, you know, petty infighting. They're not really reaching their communities because, after all, I reasoned that if they were, then they would be a big church. But what I've discovered is that description of a church being, you know, filled with, you know, just focusing on the inside, not worry about what, you know, people coming and all that fighting and bickering and all of that, that's not an indication of a small church. That's an indication of an unhealthy church. And an unhealthy church can be any size. There are unhealthy churches all around us that are small, not so small, and really pretty big. They're unhealthy. Now, for us, I think we're really pretty healthy church. I mean, you think about the things that God is doing among us. We're friendly. We're outward focused. We're missional. We're innovative. We're generous in our giving. We want to make a difference for God. But if I'm honest, for the longest time, I would have told you that I don't believe that the small church could be effective. Now, you got to understand, I came up and came into a pastor with this movement called the church growth movement. That's when it was really big. And everything about the church growth movement, everything that was told to us as a pastor is that no matter what size your church is, not only can you be bigger, but the message was you must be bigger. That your goal as a pastor, that the primary thing you need to be doing as a pastor is grow your church and make it a big church. And if your church isn't growing, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your leadership. There's something wrong with your people. If your church isn't growing, there's a problem. And the message was, what they were implying was, that you had to be in a big church, that you had to pastor a big church. And if your church isn't big, then something's wrong, because build, you know, great pastors build great big churches. And if your church isn't growing, then you're not a very good pastor. And the implication was that the bigger the church, the more effective the church could be. That was what they were saying. That the less of, you know, the smaller your church was, the less that you were effective. And for years, I'll be honest, I carried that burden as a small church pastor. I would go to these church growth conferences, and my staff was like, oh no, please don't go to another conference. Because then when you come back, you've got all these things you want us to do. And so they would say, please. But I would go to these church growth conferences and seminars and, you know, read books on the outside about how to grow the church. And, you know, here's some can't miss principles that honestly I kept missing, because my church wasn't growing, and I thought for the longest time there was something wrong with me. That was the message I got from the church growth movement. And I got so frustrated, and I got more and more frustrated, not so much with them, because there were a few things that were helpful, but most of it was not very helpful for me. But I got so discouraged because I didn't think that the small church could be effective. That success as a pastor was having a large church with large facilities and a lot of people and great facilities and great ministries. And, you know, they were baptizing and people were being saved by the hundreds. And that's what a successful pastor was. That's what it looked like to be an effective church. And my church was small, and the implication was that that will never happen in your church. And I can remember going into these beautiful big church facilities for these church growth conferences and just walking around and looking and being in awe of everything. I mean, their children's ministry, student ministry, their worship center. I mean, everything, the halls, everything was just unbelievable. And I can remember thinking, why can't I do this? I mean, why can't I pastor a church like this? And I was thinking, and I can remember being very frustrated with God and being very jealous and very envious, thinking, well, I'm a young pastor. I should be able to do this. And I carry this burden of trying to grow my church. And over the years, I've been doing this long enough to know and been a part of all different kinds of churches. I've been a part of churches that have grown incredibly. I've been a part of churches that haven't grown. I have been pastoring small churches, medium churches, large church pastors that I had to do. Honestly, I just didn't really care for it. There was a lot I had to do, a lot to do differently. You just have to do things different when you're a pastor of a large church. You just do things different. You have to think different. There's a lot of days I felt like I was out over my skis. And finally, I had come pastoring a large church, and I'd come and just got to the point where I was tired of it and said, God, I've had enough. I'm done pastoring. I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was tired of the expectations. I was tired of the pressure. I was tired of people. Church people drove me nuts. And several years ago, I just quit. I quit pastoring, gave it up, sold all my books, just decided I'm quitting, I'm not ever going to go back to it. In fact, I took a job in the corporate world for a while. Long story short, God did some amazing work of healing in my own life, and, you know, here I am, I'm pastoring again. But now, see, I see things differently. Now I understand what it means to have an effective church, because now I've come to the place where I've had to redefine what success in ministry is, and what a success in ministry has nothing to do with size. It has everything to do with something different, and I'll show you that in just a moment. But I began to see the church differently and began to realize that the church of any size can be effective, and there are many small churches that run less than 100. And here's what my thinking was. If that's the case, if more than 80% of the churches are small churches, then maybe that is part of the plan of God and not a result of my failure. Maybe the reason that we have so many small churches isn't because a pastor is not doing his job or the people aren't not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Maybe that is God's plan all along. And maybe if a church is small, it's not a reflection on the pastor or the people and their failure. Maybe it is a part of God's plan. Maybe God's call for them is to be small. Most churches won't run 1,000. Most churches won't run 2,000. Maybe that's because God has called them to be small. Now, wait a minute. You don't want the church to grow? Hang on. We'll come back to that. But my point is, I want you to understand, is it is not always God's will for a church to grow numerically. And if there are 80% of the churches that run less than 200, maybe this church growth movement has gotten it wrong. And maybe they're a bigger part of God's plan than we realize. Now, there's nothing wrong with big churches, nothing wrong with mega churches. I've been a part of them. I mean, how can you not be happy? I've been in environments, 3,000 people. How can you not be happy about having 3,000 people gather to worship Jesus? I mean, that is awesome. But listen, it is just as awesome, and God is just as honoring when 20 people gather to worship or 200 people gather to worship Jesus. Small churches can be effective. Small churches can be great. But great churches don't happen by mistake. No matter what size they are, it takes prayer, it takes planning, it takes hard work, it takes cooperation, it takes God's power. No church can be great if they don't think they can be great. And too many small churches, I think, and too many small church pastors are laboring under this impression that their church can't be great until it gets bigger. We need to stop believing that lie. Just because we're small doesn't mean we can't be great. Just because we're small doesn't mean we can't be effective. Got three things on the screen I want you to see. Being small is not a problem. Being small is not a problem. So we're not a big church. That's okay. So we don't have the resources of a big church. That's okay. So we can't do everything that they can do. That's okay. Just because a church is small doesn't mean that there is a problem. Doesn't mean that there are some issues. Just because a church is small doesn't mean it's broken. It doesn't mean that people are lazy or there's leadership that's poor or there's no vision or anything like that. Now, are there some churches like that? Absolutely. Big churches can be that way. But just because we're small doesn't mean we're broken. Most churches are small. That's normal. And normal doesn't need to be fixed. Okay? So it is okay to be small. Being small is not a problem. But being small is neither a virtue. Being small is not a virtue either. Big churches are not better than small churches. Small churches are not better than big churches. And too many times, we look at big churches and go, well, they're shallow. Oh, they're interested in a rock concert. They don't really teach the Bible. I mean, we look at these big churches and we think all kinds of things. And the truth is, God can use any kind of church, any size church, to build His kingdom and bring glory to Himself, if that church is willing. So it's not about God only using big churches, and when the small church gets its act together, then He'll use them. It's not about that at all. God is using small churches. God is using medium churches. God is using large-sized churches. And the body of Christ is so much better with all of us than it would be without any one of us. Being small is not a problem. Being small is not a virtue. Being small is not an excuse. Just because we're small doesn't give us an excuse to not do things with excellence. Just because we're small doesn't give us an excuse to not do things in a manner that honor the Lord Jesus. Just because we're small is not an excuse for us to not be everything that God has called us to be. Being small won't keep us from having a vision of connecting people to God and one another. Being small won't keep us from reaching people who are outside the church. Having limited finances will not stop us from being generous people. Being small will not keep us from telling people about the amazing love of Jesus. Our church doesn't need to be big to do the Jesus stuff. And doing the Jesus stuff is all that matters. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, it is at the very end of your Bible, Revelation chapter 3. If you hit the maps, you've gone too far. Back up just a bit. Revelation chapter 3. I want you to see this because this is one of seven letters that Jesus had John write to the church. There were seven churches. He writes seven letters to these churches. And he writes this letter to the church. And this is a small church. It isn't very impressive. I mean, some of the other churches that we read about were pretty impressive. This was not one of those. But this is a church, watch, that caught Jesus his eye. And there was nothing wrong with this church. The other churches, he would tell them, here's something that's wrong. You need to fix it. You need to do this better. You need to stop doing this. He didn't do that for this church. There was nothing wrong with this little church. In fact, he actually commends them. He says, look, there's a lot of good things that you're doing. Keep it up. You're doing great. I want to show you what Jesus says to this small, unimpressive church. Look how they caught his eye. Look at verse 7. This is the church of Philadelphia. He says, to the angel, or to the pastor of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. He's talking about, this is Jesus speaking. He who opens what no one can shut, and he shuts what no one can open. Now watch this. Jesus says, hey, small church, I see your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little power. I know that you have little strength. I know that compared to other churches, you're a little smaller. You don't have what they have. You don't think you can do what all you think that you need to be doing compared to other churches. This was a small church, and they didn't feel like that they were doing any good. And they wanted to. They wanted God to use them. They thought they were small and thought, well, there's no way because we're small. We can't be like other churches who have and can do more. And Jesus says to them, verse 8, He says, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. I'm not missing what you're doing. And you think that you're small and you think that you're powerless. And don't worry about that. I know your deeds. I know what you're doing. And you're just fine. I know you think you're not effective because you have little strength. And Jesus says, I don't want you to worry about that. The size of your church, He would say, is not important. And He keeps reassuring them. He says, look, you may not have what other churches have. And you may not think that you are effective, but you are doing well. See, the truth is, God doesn't look at the things that we look at. See, we are in a culture, and we live in a culture that is so obsessed with this bigger is better mindset. And what happens is, we've allowed it to creep into the life of the church and the body of Christ, and people in small churches have this idea that people are enamored with bigger rooms and more people and high-end production. That has never been true. There are a lot of people who prefer small churches. It just works better for them. Big churches are great. They do great things, but they aren't for everyone. God uses them, but God can also use the small church to build His kingdom. But again, we don't look at the things that God looks at. He looks at things completely different. Do you remember when Jesus was born, He was trying to decide where Jesus' hometown was going to be, and He chose a place called Nazareth. That's why Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. That's where His hometown was. That's where He grew up. Today, Nazareth is a decent-sized city. Back in those days, there were only a couple of dozen people that lived there. Just like the very first church I pastored, it was a church that I started. It was me and Meredith, and we had two other couples, and one of those couples had two kids. And so on those Sundays where that family was out, our attendance dropped by 50%. You talk about being discouraged. That's like Nazareth. Nazareth is so small, it is so insignificant, you can't even find it in the Old Testament. Nazareth is one of those places that when some of His early disciples found out that Jesus was from Nazareth, they looked at the others and thought, can anything good come out of Nazareth? See, God doesn't look at the things we look at. And yet He chose a small town called Nazareth, where Jesus would be from. When God needed to rescue the people of Israel from the invasions, you remember the Midianites, they were coming and invading them, and God chose a man named Gideon. And God says, Gideon, I'm choosing you. And he's like, do what? Why me? I'm the smallest dude in the weakest clan. Why in the world would you use me? And God says, don't worry about it. I'm with you. He goes in, does an incredible thing. Remember when the prophet Samuel went to look for a new king for Israel? God says, why'd you head over to Jesse's house and we're going to find a king? Knocks on the door, here's why I'm here. He says, fine. He prays all of these guys before him. He looks at this guy that's real tall and handsome and strong, and Samuel's thinking, that's him. I just know that's him. And God says, ho, wait a minute, Samuel. I'm not looking at what you're looking at. I see things different. He prays all of the boys in front of him, and Samuel's like, are we missing anybody? Do you have another kid? And Jesse says, well, I had this one kid. He's kind of the run of the family. He's out taking care of a few sheep. We'll bring him in, let's see, and lo and behold, he's the one. David, young David, is the one to be the new king of Israel. And all of his brothers are looking around going, do what? How can that possibly be? See, here's the thing. God doesn't look at what we look at. We think bigger is better. God says, hang on. That's not always the case. Bigger is not always better. Bigger is just bigger. God doesn't look at the things that we look at. Well, what does He look at? Look at what He says, verse 8. He says, I know your deeds. down toward the end, he says, I know that you have little strength. And here's what he looks at. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Listen, do you know what's important to God? It's not size. It's faithfulness. What God is interested in is not the size of the church, but it's faithfulness. It's faithfulness to what He has called us to do. He looks at our faithfulness. That success for a ministry and success for a church and success for a pastor isn't how many come in and show up on Sundays. It's about being faithful to do what God has called us to do and be who He's called us to be. He said to these people, Jesus, He said, I know you're small. I know you have limited strength. I know you don't have a lot of power. But man, you've been faithful to keep my word and not denied my name. Faithfulness is what's most important to God. Which means that we as Christians would do a lot better if we stopped focusing on fruitfulness and focused more on faithfulness. God is the one that grows the church, not the pastor. He said, I will build my church. It is not the reflection of a pastor. It is not the reflection of people. God is the one who will bring the growth. He is responsible for building it however it is that He sees fit. You and I are simply responsible to be faithful to His word and with the mission that He has called us. And for us, that means connecting people with Jesus and one another. We're called to be faithful to Him. We're called to be faithful to His Word. We're called to be faithful to one another. We're called to share our faith with others. We're called to live in holiness. We're called to extend grace to people who, when they stumble, we're called to show grace and compassion to those who are hurting. God says, if you be about those things, all that other stuff, I'll take care of. God's not looking at size. He's looking at faithfulness. Let's go back. Do you mean, David, that you don't want us to grow? Absolutely. I absolutely want to grow. But listen, more than that, I want us to be great. As a small church, I want us to be great. And greatness isn't found in how many who comes. Greatness is found in us being faithful to what God has called us to do as a church, not what He's called that church to do. God has called that church to do that thing. He has called us to do our thing, which is connect people with God and with one another. That's what He's called us to do. Greatness isn't found in how small we are or how big we get. It's found in our faithfulness to Him. He is looking for us to be faithful. He is looking for us to be faithful in our meeting together on Sundays. He is faithful, looking for us in faithfulness to encourage one another and love one another. He is looking at us to be faithful to give back to Him a portion of what He has given to us through tithes and through offerings. He's called us to be faithful in living and loving our families well and living as faithful God followers who will keep His word and not deny His name. That means He always has His rightful place in our lives and in the life of our church. That's what God is looking for. And listen, when you find a church like that, big or small, that's a place that you should hunker down and you should be a part of a church like that to contribute and serve and give back because that's what God is looking for. Here's the question I have for you. Are you? Is that the kind of church that you're looking for? Is that the kind of church that you want to be a part of? I cannot answer that for you. Only thing I can do is call us to faithfulness to Him and to His Word and to one another. But I can't make the determination whether you want to be a part of a church that's faithful. Are you going to enjoy every minute of it? No. Is it always going to be easy to attend and give and serve? No. Are you going to like every decision that's made? No. Are you going to like everything that's going on? No. Are you going to like all of the worship songs that we sing on Sunday? No. Are you going to enjoy every sermon that you hear? Yes. Of course. What kind of church are you looking for? Those of you that are guests, you've been coming for a while. What kind of church do you want to be a part of? If you're our guest, we want you to know that's what we're about. That's what we want to do more than anything is be faithful to what God has called us to be. And no, we're not this church and we're not that church. We don't do this and we don't do that. That's okay. We are at a place as a church where we are okay with who we are because we believe we're trying to be faithful to what God has called us to do as a church. Are there better churches out there? I don't think so. Are there bigger churches out there? Heck yeah. Are there smaller churches out there? Yeah. We are a church who wants to be faithful to what God has called us to do. Listen to me. God is not upset at the size of our church. He doesn't sit up in heaven wringing his hands wondering, why can't they? Why won't they? Why will they do this? And he's not worried or upset at the size of the church. He knows exactly how small we are, and if he chooses how big he wants to grow it. He knows every person in here. He knows every dollar we have in the bank. He knows all about our buildings. He knows all about some of our AC units that are hanging on by a thread. He knows all about that. And in no way does that determine how effective we are or are not as a church. Can the small church be effective? You bet. I have seen God do some amazing things in the life of our church. By most accounts, we're a small church. We are a faithful church, and I think we are an effective church. Our church is big enough to do everything that God is calling us to do and be who He's calling us to be. We have enough money and we have enough people to do everything He's calling us to do. And we might not have what other churches have. It's not about that. It's about being faithful to what God has given to us. Jesus looked at this little church in the book of Revelation and He says, "You've been faithful to me. Well done. Well done." Jesus will one day say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Isn't that the thing that we would want to hear above anything else? Would you stand and just close your eyes for just a moment?